Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Scrambled Eggs. This is basically part two of our Sweet 16 podcast. If you missed the first part, just go back on Crack Sidewalks. Of course, we're on there now, and you can scroll back and check out our first part when Phil and I basically just kind of gushed about how great it is that Marquette is in the Sweet 16. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the matchup with Miami. And Phil, now that we know the opponent in the Sweet 16, what do you think about the matchup with the two-seeded Hurricanes?
Well, it's not the matchup I wanted. I would have preferred Illinois, but after watching Miami last night and doing some real in-depth research into the statistics, and by in-depth, I mean I went to one website and looked at some numbers, I want to say I don't fear Miami as much as I did previously. I think they're beatable. I think it's going to be a real tough game for Marquette, but they're beatable. I don't think all hope is lost.
Yeah, Miami went out and got my hopes up by looking human against Illinois. I mean, if Miami had gone what I thought they were going to do and blown out Illinois, then you know I'd probably go into this week with a little more pessimism for Marquette. But now that we saw the way Illinois played and they were able to take Miami all the way down to the wire, so you kind of look at the blueprint there and say, okay, well, you know, this team is very, very good but not invincible. And certainly, Miami is probably, I would say, maybe the strongest two seed in the field. Right up there with Duke, I would say. We being the ACC regular season and conference champions, they're long. They got a great guard, of course, in Shane Larkin, and then just a ton of seniors. One of whom, Trey McKinney-Jones, by the way, is from Milwaukee. But, I mean, I look at the matchup, and the first thing that jumps out to me, Phil, is going to be the length of Miami when they're running out Kaji and Johnson, and I guess Gamble maybe plays as well. Maybe not quite as much as some of the other guys, but you got three guys there who are 6'10", and when they have that kind of height and that kind of rebounding, that's one thing that of a few things that kind of concerns me initially.
Well, I agree. I think they've got some height along the back. Certainly, in pure statistical standpoints or pure measurement standpoint, more height than we've got in the back. The one thing, and it's hard to take it in a one-game vacuum, but the one thing I came away from last night is Illinois is not an especially aggressive or physical team, but I thought Miami, even more so, played kind of soft. So they've got some size, but I thought Illinois got to some boards on them and kind of pushed them around a little bit. So that's part of the sense of the hope I have is that, you know, and again, some of this is going to depend on the refereeing, if they're calling it tight or if they're going to let them play physical a little bit. I think if we're allowed to play a physical game, I think we got the bodies to bang down there and kind of really, at least on the offensive end, put some stress on Miami's interior defense with Otule and Gardner especially.
Yeah, Illinois fired up a lot of threes.
Oh, boy, they are a group of chuckers, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, DJ Richardson was 1 of 10. You know, if he shoots a little bit better from downtown, that game might have gone the other way. Of course, as we all know by now, Marquette, not a three-point shooting team, although they have been a three-point shooting team when they've had to be in the tournament. The miracle minute, of course, as I am calling it, against Davidson when they hit three huge contested threes. Wilson and Blue, and of course Blue had a couple of big shots, especially the one that tied the game against Butler. How do you think maybe Marquette will attack Miami, Phil? I mean, despite the height inside, are they still going to try to get it into Gardner and maybe Otule, or is this going to be a game where maybe we're going to rely on guys like Jamil Wilson and maybe Steve Taylor to hit some pull-up jump shots?
Well, personally, I think what Miami's going to do is Miami's going to go 2-3 zone. I suspect we've seen a lot of it. We've proven at times capable of beating it, at times not. But with their length, they can probably pull it off. But I think Marquette on the offensive end has got to attack the interior. They have got to. I think we see some of the lineup with Otule, Gardner, and Wilson playing the two wings in the center position, because they're just going to put size on. I think Otule can get some buckets and get some rebounds. Gardner, I think, has the offensive skill set, especially if he's popping out Euro steps all over the place.
That was fantastic, by the way.
I can't believe we forgot to mention that yesterday, but best move I've seen him make ever. but he's got – they've got some beef down there. So I think they've got to attack the interior, move the ball side to side, and then let Vander do what Vander does. Because I don't really know who's going to guard Vander, and I don't know who's going to guard Wilson for them, because Wilson's mid-range jumper has been on especially. So I think he'll really get some points there. I'm more concerned on the defensive end, but I think the offensive end, they have to go on the interior. What would you do, Joe?
Well, I am concerned about maybe how the game will be called. You kind of referenced that a minute ago, but you know, if it's tight and our big guys are in foul trouble, then you can't really play Gardner and Otule together, because you can't get both of them in foul trouble and risk having neither. I mean, you pretty much have to have at least one of them on the floor at all times, I would think, against these guys. So I think if maybe we get, you know, into the second half and Buzz see, you know, or like late first half, early second half, and neither Otule or Gardner are in any kind of foul trouble, then I think you might see Buzz play those two guys together, say, okay, I have a little bit of room to work with. And also I think you'll see him do that if the big guys are becoming a problem for Marquette on either end of the floor. I agree with you, but as you know, anyone who follows Marquette basketball knows the key is paint touches, getting the ball into the paint, whether by pass or by dribble, and trying to create for somebody else. The way Vander Blue has played the first two games of the tournament, I think despite what the statistics say about this team on the season, you got to think maybe a little bit of three-point shooting could be there for Marquette. Jamil Wilson has shot the ball well, especially in the Davidson game. I hope that's be there. If Marquette can get in a situation, get in a rhythm from downtown, and you know, the Verizon Center is a place they've played before. It didn't necessarily go so well the last time they were there, but the rims aren't going to be new to them. So hopefully they get there and shoot the ball well, because it would be great to be able to drive and dish and, you know, get points off paint touches that way. Because I'm not sure that I hope I'm wrong here, but I'm not sure that Gardner is just going to be able to, you know, back his man down, whether it's Johnson or Kaji or whoever's on him, and just, you know, barrel into him and get fouls. I hope he's able to, but I think that's going to be a tall task, especially with if there are two guys 6'10" collapsing on him when he gets the ball.
Right. Well, but I do. If I'm Gardner, I have to absolutely relish the thought of going up against Johnson, because Johnson seems like a homeless man's version of Devonte, and I'm sure he's got good talent and stuff like that, but he's kind of one of the first traditional post-up players that we've played. You know, Devonte's not going to have to chase him around the perimeter. Now he gets 16, 17 minutes a game, but for those moments, I've got to think Buzz immediately puts Devonte in and lets him go to work on Johnson, because it doesn't seem like Johnson has quite the athletic skill set that Devonte does.
Yeah, I think you have to definitely try your bread and butter, because you don't want to, you know, if you lose the game and you never go inside, you're going to wonder, man, we probably should have gone inside more. So I think obviously you have to try it, see if it's there, but I don't think you, if it's not working, if Miami has him smothered down there, then I think Marquette will have to adjust and try to get more points from the perimeter.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not a big, I believe in if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But Miami doesn't play a real staunch defense. They don't force a lot of turnovers. Theoretically, it doesn't look like they'll put any full court press on or anything like that. So ball handling shouldn't be a great premium. Do you consider going to the lineup of Vander, Lockett, Jamil, Otule, or Gardner, and then somebody like Steve Taylor in there to really generate some offense and maybe take, you know, Junior and or Derek Wilson out of the lineup because of some of the defensive / offensive issues each one of them brings?
Well, I'll say this. I know Junior gets a lot of slack for when he doesn't play well, but when he does play well, he can be the difference between winning and losing. And I don't want to just rip the guy's confidence away before he even takes the floor. I think you have to give Junior a chance to run this offense, and maybe it works out. Maybe Junior has one of his better games, because if he does, you know, I certainly want Cadugan on the floor for 35 minutes.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, I agree with that. I just, you know, it seems like I don't worry about Junior on the offensive end. He's going to get his as long as he's not turning the ball over. I'm concerned with Larkin, and maybe we're transitioning from Marquette on the offensive end to Marquette on the defensive end. I'm concerned with Junior on the defensive end against Larkin, because if you don't put Junior on Larkin, who's 5'11", who do you put Junior on the defensive end?
Right. You know, I mean, yeah, it could be. I mean, he could be getting posted up against whoever he plays there. And yeah, Larkin is a problem. There's no doubt. And Larkin's a problem for whoever he's played.
Right.
He was the ACC Player of the Year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he's quick. He's fast. He's a great shooter. Or maybe I shouldn't say great shooter, but he's a good shooter. He can take it to the rack. I just don't. I mean, you would ideally put somebody like Vander on him, but then you're tiring Vander out for the offensive end. Plus, like I said, who do you put Junior on?
Right.
And then if you've got Derek Wilson's in there, he can guard Larkin. I don't have a real issue with that. But then you're playing 4-on-5 on the offensive end.
Right. Yeah. Derek Wilson doesn't really offer much on the offensive end. He hasn't. I don't remember last time he's really scored a basket. Honestly,
I don't remember last time he took a shot.
He did take a shot in that disastrous possession at the end of the first half against Butler.
Oh yeah, that's right. Where
he did,
where
I think that was the first shot he's taken
in
the turn. Right, but anyway, you know, and Derek, you know, like you said, he doesn't offer much in the offensive end. That's fine. If he's giving you what you need on the defensive end, then you take it. At the same time, Steve Taylor, if he's not, may not get you what you need defensively. But I would be all for seeing what he can do offensively, especially if Marquette's getting killed on the boards. To see what he can do from an offensive rebounding standpoint and just get a few putbacks, hopefully, if Marquette's not able to shoot the ball very well, because that's something Steve Taylor does so well. You know, a guy I would like to see get hot, because he's been quiet for a while, and maybe his confidence is lost, maybe he's just in a funk, but we really haven't seen much of Todd Mayo. Really.
Oh, boy.
He's in a funk. Maybe it's just playing time. I'm not sure what it is. He's definitely not shooting the ball well. He doesn't really – I mean, his playing time's down because I guess, you know, Buzz goes with whoever's hot, and obviously it's been Vander. And Vander and Mayo don't play much together. But, gosh, if he – you know, he really – I think it was the Murray State game last year when Mayo just out of nowhere started hitting shots again.
Well, yeah,
it was just, great to see you, Todd.
Well, I agree. I agree with you. It would be great. I just – you know, and I recognize that, you know – two of us were just kind of internet dorks here commenting on sports.
Sure, just throwing stuff out there.
Right, but the thing with Mayo is last year, even when his shot wasn't going in, he was an above-average defender.
Very good, yes.
He was probably right behind Vander in terms of his defensive capabilities. And even his defensive capabilities this year have seemed to have lapsed. So I don't know if it's his head's just not in it. You know, I don't know that I think you're going to have to run him out there, because he's going to have to eat some minutes. But, you know, I think if within the first 2 minutes, we'll know whether
right.
Mayo's going to have it or not. And if
and
he doesn't.
I think, right. And I think Buzz has definitely shown with his substitutions, he's not, you know, he's not afraid to try something, but then he's also not afraid to say, nope, not working. Forget it. Back out there, you know. And so I think we'll definitely see Todd Mayo against Miami. And if Todd comes out and plays well on either end of the floor, I think we'll see him get a lot of minutes, especially if he shows he can guard Larkin. Because I think he actually, when Todd Mayo is right, I think he would be a good matchup against Larkin.
Oh, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Well, and it'll be interesting to see, because I actually think if you look back at what Marquette did in the second half of the Butler game, you know, and we talked about all the substitutions. I do think, to a certain extent, that's maybe the defensive strategy again against Miami. Is again they're running 7-8 deep, maybe, and you just run waves of players at them, and you know, you don't go hardcore full court, but you make them think, you make them physically and mentally tired throughout the game.
Maybe, yeah.
So you're going to throw a lot of players at them, you know. So
you might see, especially if you know, if Cadogan isn't having his best game offensively, you may just basically see a lot of substitutions between Wilson and Cadogan, just swapping those guys on Larkin all day. Their minutes might be pretty evenly split by the end of the day, and that's just something I think Buzz has done well in the tournament, particularly the Butler game, is just getting a feel for what's working and swapping guys in and out, and once he gets a lineup that works, stick with that, and then just make the proper adjustments. So obviously, I think if you can frustrate Larkin, slow him down, I think then you have a chance. But I think the rebounding is going to be a major key, because you can't give these guys second chance points. Whenever Miami misses a shot, you've got to get the ball and you've got to get your offense going, because if you're giving Miami second chance points, I think it's going to be a long, long day for Marquette.
Right. Well, and I think one of the things that's interesting is I think the key is, and it's maybe it's wildly obvious, but you said shutting down
Larkin.
Larkin is going to be the critical thing. Miami has a very low – they only average 10 assists a game. I mean, it's not like they move the ball around a ton. It seems to kind of go in spots and just kind of die. So I think if you can really contain Larkin and limit his assists, or at least make him pass the ball in non-dangerous situations, you know, maybe double him off a screen and roll, or you know, if they're going for a pick and roll, you know, kind of double it up so he can't get the pass into the post, so he has to swing it back around. That's maybe where the defensive strategy is. Just force Larkin to not put it in a dangerous position and make the other four players from Miami make something happen.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully that's the way it goes, and hopefully Marquette's offense is on. And you know, Phil, we touched on it in the first podcast a little bit, and now that we know the opponent and it can touch on it a little more, hopefully Marquette does come out loose and plays really well, because the last two Sweet 16 games for Marquette, obviously they just got crushed by a very good North Carolina team 2 years ago, and they just didn't shoot the ball well last year against Florida, and they ended up losing by 10. Playing in a, you know, it's not a building, not that they're that familiar with it, but it's not new to them, is the Verizon Center. And I would hope, you know, just maybe, I'm just maybe grasping at straws here, but maybe a little bit of familiarity with the location could maybe play in Marquette's favor a little bit.
Well, I agree with that. Plus, you know, we talk about home and road Marquette, and you know, we kind of to a certain extent statistically debunked a little bit of the road Marquette in terms of the results, but the DC area has a very strong Marquette population. I don't know that Miami has as strong a population in DC. Could be, but I think at
I didn't know Miami had basketball fans until this year, actually.
Well, that's true. I don't know that Miami knew they had basketball fans until this year. So I would make the argument that at worst it'll be a neutral site, a legitimate neutral site. At best, it might even feel a little bit like a Marquette home crowd. We may be hearing over the TVs, you know, the "We Are Marquette" chants pretty audibly. And I think if the team feels comfortable, I don't think this team's scared of anyone. I don't think that's what their woes have been. I think they just are slow to start. And so I think if they can eliminate that slow start and feel comfortable right away, I think they can compete. And the longer they keep this game close, I think the more likely it is Miami's to get a little tight.
Yeah, and the crowd, the neutral crowd, will always gravitate towards the underdog. Now, granted, we're talking about 3-2, so it's not like we're talking about a huge underdog here, but Marquette is a 5-point dog. And I'm sure the Indiana fans would be cheering for Marquette, not because of any Tom Crean connection, but because they probably feel they match up much better against Marquette, when most more than likely be able to beat Marquette than Miami to get to the Final Four. And I don't know how the Syracuse fans would feel. I mean, technically they're Big East teams, but they're almost ACC teams. So I don't know actually which side they would actually be cheering for, or if they would just kind of sit there and watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there'll be a strong Marquette contingent. And we'll definitely be underdogs, especially if you believe in the ESPN reseeding that has us the 16th team out of 16 total teams in the Sweet 16. So,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I read that, you know, I'm sure it's, you know, there was another one out there. I think it was CBS put one out that reseeded Marquette as 13th.
Yeah.
And I read them both. I'm like, you know, whatever. If Buzz wants that as bulletin board material, good for them. Enjoy it.
I think that's exactly right. This team, I mean, look at this season. They've way overperformed expectations, but what expectations weren't that high. So I think playing the underdog role suits them just fine. And I think Miami playing from in front is obviously not something they're used to. So psychologically, maybe we get an edge, but who knows?
And, you know, despite what people rank Marquette going into this game, correct me if I'm wrong, the game will start 0-0.
I did check with the rules committee. That is correct, and we will also this game go the correct directions.
Excellent. So hopefully they get that right as well. You know, hopefully Marquette gets this win. It'd be awesome to be their first Elite Eight in 10 years. Of course, in 2003 they went to the Final Four. We'll see if they can get One more win in D.C., maybe they get two and this turns into something really special. But I think, I hope Marquette's experience just leads to a good game. The only thing I'm really fearing is just Marquette going in there and just getting blown out and just getting embarrassed.
Yeah, we don't need that again because that would be – you could arguably make that 3 years in a row.
Right. You know, it would be unfortunate. I still wouldn't be – I mean, I'd be upset that the season's over, but I wouldn't be devastated because I think this team has achieved as much as I realistically expected that it could. I think anything from here, they're playing with house money and it's just gravy. It's icing on the cake on a very solid season. I'm not saying it's okay to just be happy to be there, but I'm just saying they've accomplished as much as I could realistically expect out of them.
Right. So do you want to go on official record as forecasting or predicting the results for the game on Thursday?
Sure. I'm going to play the optimist and just say this team has a magic horseshoe up its butt and will somehow get a win against Miami. And I think a rematch, or not a rematch, but a reunion with Tom Crean is inevitable.
Do you have a score?
Oh, well, let's go with Heart Attack Central again and go 65-64.
Okay. See, I'm kind of where you're at. I'm going optimistic as well. I think Marquette actually does pull it off. I think it's going to be a low-possession game. I think Marquette's going to try and value every possession, slow Miami down, force them to play the full 35 minutes, etc. I think it's going to be Marquette 59, Miami 55.
All right. Actually, you know what? If Buzz Williams just wants another hater in the media, I'll say Miami 100, Marquette 3.
Oh, well, there you go. According to the media, Buzz is on his way out the door anyway. So,
I didn't really want to address this until we officially got to off-season podcasts, but I feel we need to just because it's out there. To those who are maybe new to the Marquette fan base, if we have any freshmen or high school seniors who have started following the team because they're going there next year, Buzz Williams' name will come up in basically every job opening from East Coast to West Coast, from major conferences to Prairie View A&M. His name will come up for basically every job out there. And I'm really not going to worry about it. I don't think it's worth breaking down at this point. It's just to say, everyone relax. One thing I can guarantee about Buzz coaching, he will be coaching Marquette on Thursday.
Absolutely.
I can promise you that.
And he will get mentioned with the Florida Gulf Coast opening if Andy Enfield leaves.
Right.
This is all just internet trolling, and the sportscasters like to stir up trouble.
They want you to click on their articles.
Absolutely. And Marquette's fan base has shown to be especially adept at reacting very wildly to the trolls. So don't feed the trolls. Don't click on the links. Keep calm and carry on. There is nothing to see here.
Yeah, just stay off the message. Just do yourself a favor. Stay off the message boards this week. Just stay off.
Yeah. Just take your glycerin so your heart's prepared for Thursday. Get some workouts in and just get ready for the game on Thursday because that's the only thing that matters.
I forget who said. I think it was Dan who said it on Twitter, and he said it very well. He said, "I promise you this, Buzz is spending every minute of his time this week focusing on a way to beat Miami. He doesn't have, he doesn't have his agent. I don't know if Buzz has an agent.
I didn't think he had one. I think he got one last year. But
anyway,
I don't
he doesn't have his agent on one phone while he's watching Miami tape. He's not flying out on interviews. He is doing whatever he can. He and his staff and these players, they're not, is Buzz going to leave? Oh, what's going to happen? They're focusing on beating Miami. And if Marquette gets their doors blown off on Thursday, it's not going to be because anyone was thinking about any other jobs. It's going to be because Miami is really, really good.
Absolutely. And Miami had a heck of a game. I think Marquette will be in it regardless. And let's just go out, enjoy the game, and just win it. Just move on and face the tan one.
We'll have to do an emergency podcast.
The bat signal will go up on that one should we win on Thursday and Indiana moves on as well.
Yeah, we'll deal with that when we get to it. But here's to hoping we have a great week and a great game against Miami. Support the team. Focus on the game, not the rumors. Other than that, everyone, I hope your week is seashells and balloons, and we'll talk to you next time.